next speaker is Marco Fracaro, who's going to talk about sequential neural models with stochastic layers.
Thanks. So this is joint work with Soren Sonderbu, Ulrich Bakke, and Ole Winter. In this talk, I will show you how you can construct sequential neural models with stochastic layers. When modeling sequential data, we find two major approaches in the NIPS community. Recurrent neural networks are widely used in the deep learning community whenever we need to capture long-term dependencies in the data. For example, for language modeling or machine translation. On the other hand, we have state-space models that are mostly used in the probabilistic modeling community whenever it's important to model the uncertainty in the latent states. Some example applications are tracking, control, and planning. What we will see in this talk is that when we need to model complex sequential data, such as speech waveforms, we can combine the expressiveness of recurrent neural networks and the stochasticity of state-space model. And the way we do it is to extending ideas from variational autoencoders in the temporal setting. A bit of background, we have recurrent neural networks, as many of you may know, that model sequences of vectors x that possibly depend on some inputs u. And the assumptions they make is that all the information up to times t can be captured by a deterministic state dt that depends on the previous deterministic state, dt minus 1, and on the current input ut through a nonlinear function, such as a GRU unit or an LSTM cell. Given the deterministic state of the model, we then model the output probabilities, p of xt given dt. If we are interested in sequence generation, we typically set the current input at times t as the previous output at times t minus 1. A state-space model assumes a factorization that is similar to the one of RNNs, but there is one major difference in that the state in a state-space model are assumed to be stochastic, and this means that we can model the uncertainty in the latent path. We then define a stochastic transition probability p of zt given zt minus 1, that is the previous state in the state-space model, and the inputs ut. And as for RNNs, given the state zt, we define the output probability p of xt given zt. Some examples of state-space models are linear Gaussian state-space models that are also known as Kalman filters, hidden Markov models, and nonlinear state-space models. And I will show you later that we will use a nonlinear state-space model parameterized by deep neural networks. So we form a stochastic recurrent neural network by taking a recurrent neural network and stacking a state-space model on top of it. As you can see, the model itself is really simple, and the challenging part here will be how to do inference due to the stochasticity in the states of the state-space models and the nonlinearities that we have in the model. Thanks to the chosen factorization, the RNN layer can focus in capturing the long-term dependencies in the data, and then the state-space model layer can use these long-term dependencies and focus in modeling the uncertainty in the latent states. Going a bit more into detail, we have deterministic transitions for which you can use your favorite RNN architecture. And it's interesting to see that this deterministic transition from a probabilistic point of view can be interpreted as being delta functions centered at the output of the recurrent neural network. And this also showed that relation between state-space models and recurrent neural network. As you can interpret a recurrent neural network as a very special case of a state-space model where you have deterministic transition parameterized by highly nonlinear functions. For the stochastic transitions, we use Gaussian distributions whose mean and log variance are parameterized by deep neural networks that depend on the previous state of the state-space model, zt minus 1, and on the current state of the recurrent neural network, dt. Finally, we use skip connections in the output probabilities so that they depend both on the state of the state-space model and on the state of the recurrent neural network. To learn the parameters of the model, we would like to maximize the log likelihood of a training set, where we compute the likelihood as the integral of the joint probability distribution over the state of the state-space model and the state of the RNN. And the joint distribution is obtained by multiplying the output probabilities, the state-space model probabilities, and the RNN probabilities. While the integral over D is straightforward, as we have delta function and the RNN is deterministic, the integral over Z is not, and it's in fact intractable, and this means that we need to resort to approximate inference techniques. We use variational inference. So given any parameterized distribution Q over Z and D, we rewrite the data log likelihood as the sum of two terms, the evidence lower bound F of theta and phi, and the KL divergence between the variational approximation and the posterior distribution of the model. As the KL divergence is non-negative, we know that the lower bound F of theta and phi, that the function F of theta and phi will be a lower bound to the evidence of our model. We compute the evidence lower bound as the difference of two terms. We have a reconstruction term that is the expectation over the variational approximation of the log likelihood of our model, P of X given Z and D. And then we have the KL divergence between the variational approximation and the prior distribution of our model that is obtained by multiplying the RNN transition probabilities and the state space model transition probabilities. This KL term can be seen as a regularizer for our model. We find the optimal theta and phi by gently maximizing the evidence lower bound, and we do this by stochastic gradient ascent, where we compute the gradient using a temporal extension to the reparametrization trick. Before looking at how we actually parameterize the variational approximation, let's see at how we can simplify the posterior distribution as much as we can by exploiting some of the independence properties that we have among the variables in the model. So the posterior distribution can be written as the product of two terms. The first one is the prior RNN transition probabilities, and the second one is the posterior over the state of the state space model. And the reason why we can write the prior RNN transition probabilities here is that the RNN is essentially a deterministic function. The prior RNN transition probabilities are tractable, as it's just the product of delta function, but the posterior over the state of the state space model is not. But we will see that we can simplify it by exploiting some of the independence properties given by the temporal structure of the model. Notice that at any time t, we will compute the smooth posterior distribution, p of zt, given all the deterministic states of the model d and all the outputs of the model x. And we condition, therefore, on all the available data and not just on the past and the present as when you do filtering, where we would compute the posterior distribution conditioned on the deterministic states from time 1 to time t and the outputs from time 1 to time t. So let's see in an example with first time steps how we can simplify this posterior distribution. We look first of all at the posterior distribution of the variable Z4, and we notice that it depends on all the deterministic states of the model and all the outputs of the model. However, if we condition this distribution on the previous state Z3, we see that the conditional posterior distribution will depend on the deterministic state at time 4 and on the output at time 4. And this is because Z3 will capture all the past information. As we have computed the posterior condition on the variable Z3, we now need to compute the posterior of the variable Z3. And to do it, we use a similar trick. So we condition on the previous variable Z2 that will capture all the dependence coming from the past. And our conditional posterior distribution will then depend on the present information coming from X3 and D3, and on the future information coming from X4 and D4. As you can imagine, to compute the posterior distribution at times 2 and the posterior distribution at times 1, we use similar ideas. So we have seen that we can factorize the posterior distribution as the product of two terms. First, we have the prior RNN transition probabilities, and then we have the product over time of this conditional posterior distribution. As we want our variational approximation to be as close as possible to the true posterior, we will use a similar factorization for the variational approximation. So we keep the dependence on the prior RNN probabilities, P of D given U, and then we will only have to approximate the conditional posterior distributions. We do this by introducing an inference network Q that depends on some parameters phi, where we keep the dependence on the past given by the variable ZT minus 1. And then the tricky part is how to encode the dependence coming from D, from the deterministic state D, from time T to time capital T, and from the outputs of the model, from time T to capital T. The way we did it is to introduce some auxiliary deterministic states AT that belong to a recurrent neural network that runs backwards in time. And you can see here that we will input to this recurrent neural network at each time step the concatenation of the deterministic state dt and the output xt. So let's see how this works in the example. We start from the conditional posterior distribution at times 4, and now we want to approximate this distribution. So we introduce an inference network Q, where we keep the dependence on the path given by the variable Z3, and we approximate the dependence in the true conditional posterior distribution on the variable D4 and X4 by introducing this auxiliary variable A4 that belongs to a recurrent neural network that is initialized at state A5 equals to 0, and where we input the concatenation of the deterministic state D4 and the output X4. For the variational approximation at times 3, the same idea applies. So we have the conditioning on the path through the variable Z2. And then here we use the auxiliary variable A3 to encode the dependence on the present, as we will input to the recurrent neural network the concatenation of the deterministic state D3 and on the output X3. And then we also use A3 to encode the information coming from the future through the variable A4. That, as I have shown you before, was depending on X4 and D4. For the variational approximation at times 2 and the variational approximation at times 1, the same things apply. So this is how the overall inference network looks like. We see that given the input of the models, we can compute the deterministic states, and then we can take the outputs of the model, and given the outputs and the deterministic states, we compute these auxiliary variables A. And then we can start at times t equals to 1 and compute the variational approximation at times 1. Then given this approximation, we can compute the variational approximation at times 2 and so on and so forth. And for the variational approximation, we use a Gaussian distribution whose mean and log variance are parameterized by deep neural network that depend on the previous state of the state space model, Zt minus 1, and on the previous current deterministic state, At. It's clear from this inference network that we can approximate smoothing in a principled way. And you can see it, for example, looking at the variational approximation at times 1 and noticing that it depends on the variable A1 that depends in turn on all the outputs of the model, even for future time steps. We also found it very useful to learn the residual between the mean of the predictive prior distribution and the mean of the variational approximation at each time step. And the reason why this works is that as we train the model, the parameters of the model are changing as well. And this means that the posterior distribution will keep changing as we train it. Using this trick, we managed to help the variational approximation to track this non-stationary posterior distribution. We evaluate the SRNN on some speech modeling tasks. So we use two datasets of raw waveforms. The first one is Blitzart that has 300 hours of English spoken by a single female speaker. And the second one is Timid that has 6,300 sentences read by 630 speakers. In these experiments, we set the current input at times t as being the previous output at times t minus 1. But you could also use ut to encode additional input information to the model. We compare the SRNN against a standard recurrent neural network with LSTM cells and a variational recurrent neural network that can be seen as an extension of our recurrent neural networks where you add stochastic variables at each time step. But importantly, these stochastic variables are independent between each other given the deterministic states of the model. And this is the big difference with the stochastic recurrent neural network, where all the stochastic variables depend on the previous one, forming a Markov chain in the state space model layer. In terms of average log likelihood per sequence, we see that the SRNN outperform both models in both datasets, and in particular in the most challenging Timid dataset that has less training data and more speakers. It's interesting to see that the RNN doesn't perform well in both datasets, and this shows that for this kind of data, it's really important to have some stochasticity in the latent states. You can also find many more detailed results and experiments in the paper. The last thing I want to show you is the importance of the inference network. So here we plot a raw speech signal and the average KL divergence between the variational approximation and the prior distribution of our model. And what we see is that whenever there is a transition in the speech signal, there is a spike in the KL divergence. And this suggests that the inference network is using all the information coming from the output of the model to improve inference. To sum up, we know that RNNs are good at modeling complex long-term dependencies in the data, and we also know that state-space models are good at modeling the uncertainty through the stochastic latent states. What we did in this work is to combine the advantages of both models, and we do this by using an inference network that tracks the factorization of the model's posterior distribution to allow for variational inference. Thanks.
We've got time for questions. I think we've got one right here.
Question here. So in your experiments, if you don't use, if you put the phonetic units as the U rather than X,
yep.
In your final example, you could do that as a speech recognition, right? You just use the Bayes rule for generative model, you can actually recover the unit. Have you tried that experiment at all?
So we didn't try it. So what we are doing here is basically doing one step ahead prediction. But that could be a very interesting experiment and could show if you can propagate the information even with this input information. The reason why we did it is to compare with the previous models in literature. And they were doing this, so it was a fair comparison to do it ourselves.
Yeah,
as well.
Okay. Actually, similar kind of model doing what I just said.
Yeah,
was
you,
done about
you can 10, definitely do it.
About 10 some years ago, the result had never been as good as for RNA because it doesn't actually, because the learning, the one you propose, really is based on likelihood. That's not a very good thing to do.
Yeah.
Because if you do discriminant learning using RNA type of algorithm to do, back progression through time, actually can do better.
Okay.
So I think these two ways of doing things is a very important thing to look into. Okay.
Thanks.
We have one on the right.
Thank you for the talk. I have a question regarding your formulation of the problem. The complete talk rests on an assumption that the output of the RNN is a discrete sequence. But I mean, this needn't be so because typically for this kind of sequence model, what the RNN outputs in each time step is the probability of going to this time, this state, given a state sequence and a input vector sequence. And I mean, this is how RNNs are used right now in speech recognition and state data systems. So my question here is, wouldn't a more fair comparison be not towards a model that just uses the RNN output, but that actually uses the RNN combined with, HMM then in the case of going with the state-of-the-art system and modeling the transition, basically producing the transition lattice and doing the search on this as is typically used in speech recognition.
Yeah, so this is just one experiment that I showed you. In the paper, we also have In the RNN, in the speech modeling case, we use Gaussian likelihood for the model, but we also show that you can use Bernoulli likelihood because when we model, for example, a music score, a piano score, and it would definitely be a good experiment to compare also with the RNN with on top of it an HMM. We didn't think, I mean, in this case, it's we want to learn model jointly. So we want to be able to learn both the inference part and the modeling part at the same time. And it would be maybe more difficult to do it in the case of the RNN and the HMM, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't really need separate parameters for the HMM in this case. It's basically just thinking it's an HMM and you have the transition probabilities from your RNN, basically.
You need to do then a sort of expectation maximization for it.
Yeah, you just need to do the beam search when you do decoding.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a good experiment. In this case, we focused on the more deep learning view of this. So we compared with the variational RNN and the RNN only. But I agree with you that it could be a good experiment to compare with RNN.
All right. Last question.
So there is a class of work which combines convolutional neural networks with RNNs, right? Which is also in some way doing a projection into a subspace and then having RNNs operate on top of that. Have you compared your work with that type of work and how do those perform?
No, the short question is that we only have compared with the RNN, with LSTM and the VRNN. for these experiments, we have compared with the with more models in the MIDI modeling task, but we didn't use the combination that you mentioned.
Hi.
I'm sorry, here. We're going to have to move on. Maybe take it offline. Sorry. All right, let's thank the speaker.